What a time to be alive. I can't express that enough, man. What a time to be rescued. It's amazing, amazing, amazing. Hallelujah. As you can see, I brought another Bible so I don't have to play with sticky one. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. Okay, that's it. You can go home. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever man sows, that he will also reap. That is a spiritual law that never changes. We live a life of sowing. You're either sowing in the spirit or you're sowing in the flesh. He says, for whatever man sows, that he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will reap what? Flesh of corruption, troubles, attacks. But he who sows to the Spirit will the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow what? Weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of God. Again, that's a spiritual law that doesn't change. Doesn't change. More sowing to the spirit, more light. More sowing to the flesh, more battles that you have to overcome. The number one battle we're always overcoming is emotional weariness. Emotional weariness. People become weary very easily. People can become weary because things don't go their way. They get discouraged. They have a perception of something different than what the perception of the Lord is. They're not aligned with God's word, covenant, and promises, or they wouldn't grow weary. They know, listen, welcome to the earth. All kinds of things are going to happen. Amen? We're going to go through all kinds of things. But it doesn't give us a legal right to go back to the flesh. Many people believe that. Oh, I've been through all this. I think I'll just go back to the flesh. No. That's a lie from hell. We are more than conquerors. Again, the first battle is weariness. We're battling all the time. And it's emotional weariness. Our strongest battle is within, not outside. It's inside. It's in the mind, it's in emotions, it's in the soul. People become weary, they become oppressed. That's how people become suicidal. You know, you don't hear about how many people are killing themselves, but they are. Because things aren't going their way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Every one of us in here has sometimes had a suicidal thought. Amen? And that wasn't from God. If God wanted you dead, he'd kill you. It's that simple. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are what? We're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in us. Now, I know that there's some days we feel more hard-pressed than others. But do not become emotionally weary where you make choices by how you feel. Because that's what the enemy's trying to play. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal body. Or a mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I what? Spoke. That means he's going to sow his way out by what? Speaking the things that are correct. Does everybody understand that? Is everybody with me? Verse 14. Knowing that He who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise up with Jesus, us up with Jesus, and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. We are hard pressed with attacks of the unseen realm. And what they're trying to do is get us into a place of emotional weariness. Did you ever be around someone that drains you? Man, they can't shut up. Or they're just constantly complaining and draining you. You know, little kids can do that to you. But you can't let that get to you because that's just how they are. They got beyond 20 questions because they're trying to learn. Why is this color blue? Why does this taste this way? Why are you wearing your hair that way? Why is TV on? Why is this? They're always a why. Kids are wide out. But you got to make it turn it into joy. Well, because they're curious. But you may get it around somebody that doesn't need to ask you 1,000 questions. They just need to trust, watch, wait, and learn. Amen? We're hard-pressed with attacks of the unseen emotional weariness. One of them is fear. Fear brings you away. How about discouragement? Anybody ever been discouraged? Don't raise your hand. Don't need to. How about loneliness? How about regret of all the stupid things we've made decisions of, the wrong decisions? How about disappointments? You know, people live sometimes beyond their expectations and even beyond God's expectation for them. You know, God promises life, life eternal, abundant life. It doesn't mean you're going to own everything. He didn't promise you the earth and the moon. He promised that you could live in it, on the earth. So his promises, we cannot have false expectations, because high expectations bring what? Great downfalls. Now, we have expectations on ourselves. That's why we get discouraged sometimes, because we didn't meet our own expectation yet. Does everybody understand that? And the enemy loves to bring expectations on you. Oh, he puts expectations that you can't reach. And they may be simple expectations, but there's a level of expectation you must reach. There are certain things, there's levels that you have to reach. And as you continue to maintain one, you'll advance to the other. And you'll maintain one, you'll advance to the other. See, you can't go from step one to step 10 going up the stairs. I'm not talking about steppers. We're not steppers. We do one step, Jesus Christ. But there's an area where you can't step on the first stair and expect to make it to the 10th one. And then when you don't have downfalls, false expectations, that's what they are. So we must bring in false expectations and realize, how many know God knows what you need? What does he say? Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added. Amen? The problem is people don't do that. They pray and they expect right away. When you pray, you give it to him and you let it go. Whether your expectations are now or tomorrow. You don't hold the expectations, he does. He holds the answer. He holds the time. He holds everything. I mean, I know we all want to drive through a fast drive-through. I've heard about drive-through communions now. You can drive through a place and get a cup and a whatever, and it's communion. Hallelujah. Pretty soon they'll have drive-through healings and deliverance. And there's some places I've gone to think that they are drive-through deliverance and healings. And nobody gets delivered or healed. Because there is no drive-through. There is no shortcut. You must do. See, cooperation is a part of doing, learning. So as you're learning with the cooperations, you're changing. And you're becoming more and more in his image and likeness and character. Where you're shedding your own. That's an everyday process. David said, I can't wait till I die, basically. Knowing I'm going to awaken your likeness, and I can shed all this crap that I've been carrying all my life. Amen? Everybody okay? Hallelujah. Again, these are in the areas of regret and disappointment, resulting in oppressive state of being. It causes individuals to fight for themselves, the self man, instead of for the presence of God. They begin to fight for self instead of the presence of God. See, if you'd fight for the presence of God, self would die. That's where it says, deny yourself. So they're battling all their trials and tribulations and circumstances, and they're in a weariness, and it ain't removing any weariness. Because the only thing that's going to remove anything is God's presence. Then they stay oppressed forever. Or they call a doctor and they give them a pill that's got wings. But they really don't. And they become addicted to the pill because that's what the world wants to happen. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 11, please. Let's speak it. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections, which are what? Emotions. You are restricted by your own emotions. Does everybody get it? What kind of emotions? Emotional weariness. Emotions. Do you ever get around someone that's all they say, I feel, I feel, I feel? I'm going to cast that spirit of feel out. Because they're relying on how they feel all the time. It's not about a feeling. Where there's a knowing within us that we know. Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will let you know. You have a knowing that you got a knower in there. The Holy Spirit knows it all. When we're in a world, we thought we knew it all. And we didn't know nothing. But he knows it if you'll just give him an opportunity to make the way. Sometimes it takes a little while to penetrate our brain. Amen. Again, you're not restricted by us, but you're restricted by your own emotions or affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak to you as children. You also be open. Do not be unevenly yoked. Now, he's telling you, don't be unevenly yoked or what? Unbelievers. Why? Because their impartations bring what? Bring what? I didn't hear you. Associations bring what? Impartations. Amen. Do not be unevenly yoked with unbelievers. Why? Because they carry stuff. It's called demons. I've heard many people come out of getting freed up, cleaned up from drugs and alcohol, and they're going to go back to their old friend's house and watch a football game where everybody else drinks and parties, and oh, I'll be fine. No, you won't. You just got bit by 1,000 serpents in that place. And eventually those that infiltration of that venom, those seeds that they planted in you, even though you didn't feel it, even though you didn't drink, even though you didn't do anything, you sat and agreed with them. And it opened a door to the devil to you. You will fall. Now, if God sends you in there to clean it out, that's different. Why don't be an example to them? Yeah, 2 weeks later you won't be. You'll be partying with them. Do not be unevenly yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them. I'll walk among them, I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, if you do this, if you come out from among them and be separate, says, and don't touch and agree with what they're saying or they're doing, I'll receive you. And I'll be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. What's he saying? Resist, get away, depart. Amen? You know, I never followed a group called Guns N' Roses, I guess it is. I mean, but I saw a video yesterday And they were singing the song, what's it, Open Heaven's Door? Knock, knock. Knock, knock on heaven's door. And the lead guy, Guns N' Roses, whatever his name is, Axel something, he had a T-shirt on that had the face of Jesus with the crucifixion in it. And it said underneath it, kill your idols. I'm thinking, he must have got saved. Because I remember when I was in a prayer group at Benny Hinn's church, he called there wanting to talk to Benny. He was searching out for salvation. So many people said that he did, and he got saved. I don't know how true that is, but I'm telling you, he had a shirt on, knocked doing the songs, knock, knocking on heaven's door. They had the face of Jesus, and he had the thorns in his head, and underneath it, it said, kill your idols. I think there was a message. Pretty amazing. So again, kill your emotions. Idols. People live by how they feel. That's an idol. Everybody wants to feel good. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a wonderful thing. But the emotions of God are peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Those are the emotions of God. When you lose your peace, amen, you lose your righteousness. You lose strength. You lose your thirst and hunger. You become more attached and more desiring to fulfill what the world offers instead of what God offers. And we are in that time right now where there's such a great fight and people are very weary and discouraged. You know, we go into places, we know a lot of people, especially at Lowe's, probably almost every employee that works there. And, you know, they ask us questions and all kinds of stuff. And there's people that come and say, man, did you see the news or whatever the other day? This. I said, bro, quit watching that junk. And they're all oppressed and worried and fearful because they believe the lies of the false prophets on TV. But, you know, we know all things. And we know all things for me and you is going to work to the good, to those who love him. Amen. And as you align yourself with the Word of God and the mind of Christ, see, you can align yourself with the Word of God, but not the mind of Christ. How many all God thinks more than what's just in this Bible? How many all know more than what's in this Bible? There's more. In other words, they said they couldn't write it all down, what Jesus did while he was here. There wouldn't be enough books to write. There's a lot more for me and you than you realize, but it starts with that personal relationship. Without that relationship, the more you hang with someone, the more you know them. My wife knows all kinds of things about me. She knows how I'm going to respond to certain things. She's going to know how I react to certain things, too. See, why? Because we've been hanging around for forever. What, 40 years or something? I lost track. But we know each other very well. And that's how God wants us to be. In other words, I'm not going to ask her something that I know she's going to say no to all the time. Unless I tried to bribe her, I don't know. But again, we're not going to ask God something that he said no all the time. You don't have to ask him something that is a no or not now, not time. Because we're learning more and more about his character. The more you hang with him, the more things are going on in your life. And when you step out of order, and you step out of his character, the enemy's character begins to step in. See, the enemy's always waiting for a loophole, just like an attorney. He's always waiting for a loophole. Whether a person's guilty or not, he's waiting for a loophole. Hallelujah. All right. We're not restricted by, they were restricted by their what? Emotions. Amen? Emotional affections, which are idols. We're to avoid these things of lawlessness and the voice of the old man, especially the thoughts and associations with unbelievers, that they will question your faith all the time, or they will challenge your faith, and you won't even know it. And when we go hang around once in a while, we have to go to a family event. And, you know, again, you can sense in the spirit that Antichrist presence in them. that are not walking with God. And those demons that are following them and being fed from them are trying to challenge you. You know, you go to family reunions and whatever, you got to be careful, man. You got to be careful. I'm not saying don't go. You must be led by the Spirit of God, because there's certain things that God says, do not go. Is everybody okay? 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen or heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who what? Who loved him. How many know God has things prepared for you? Why? Because you love him. What does he say? If you love me, obey me. You can't just live a life on how you feel and expect God to believe that you love him. Oh, but God has revealed them to us through his what? Spirit. So there's got to be a relationship. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God, that you might know. Well, if you don't read the Word of God, how are you going to know? Well, you better know his voice very well then. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Your carnal man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. He's against it, the old man. No, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So you're not going to convert your old man. He's lost, living outside of salvation's truth. Your old man is gone, history. That's why we got born again. We got a new man from heaven. You're a new creation in Christ. All things pass away, all things become new. You got a new spirit. And don't tell me you don't feel like that. Well, I don't feel that way. You're an idiot. Stop it. Don't go there. And who told you that? How many other things you want to hear? But he who is spiritual judges all things. Are you judging all things? Are you judging the voices that are speaking? Are you judging the fruits of your own thoughts? Are you judging? Are you examining these things? Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. You're not judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Isn't that awesome? We have the mind of Christ. Now your mind in Christ might not be fully developed yet, because there's an exchange that has to happen. Because your old man mind is still speaking to the new man's mind. And there's got to be an exchange and a cast down and a severing and doors shut to the old thoughts. That's why it says cast down all thoughts and imaginations that will come against the knowledge of God. So what's happening is you're beginning to yield more to the mind of Christ. And he's beginning to reveal more and more things to you. As the old man mind begins to diminish, he's crucified. It's diminishing. See, the more you put something into practice, the more it becomes perfected. Amen? See, and this is where people become weary, because you know what they do? They give up. Why? You know, how many people they've challenged God so much. Well, God ain't done this. I ain't doing this no more. Well, he ain't done it. He hasn't healed me yet, so that's it. I'm not going to church no more. I run into people like that all the time. They're all about themselves. They're not about God. It's not about what you want or we want. It's what God wants. And he will fulfill everything he promised. But it's in his time, not ours. And sometimes he delays something to check you out. Are you going to run? Or are you going to stand? Are you going to wimp out? Hello? Or are you going to stand? Are you going to fight? Or are you going to let the enemy beat your butt up? We can't see many people that instead of fight, they flight. Are you going to run to the phone or the throne? Hallelujah. Now, don't get me wrong, because God's told many people to call. Why? Because he wants someone to touch and agree with him. He wants some counsel. Counsel from him. We don't get counsel from men. We get counsel from the Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. Everybody okay? Eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to follow. 1 Corinthians 13. You know, word tells us in the latter times the love of many will grow cold. And we're seeing that a lot now. But there's a lot of compassion going out too. So we're seeing a level of both. A lot of people becoming more compassionate, but a lot of people become more angry because of the stupidity of many things. I mean, if you're driving down the street and there's a roadblock there and people are protesting, you know, a lot of people are getting frustrated. They're late for work, this, that, whatever. You know, protest on the side of the road. Why you got to do it in the street? Have respect. See, there's no respect there. There's none. It's all about self. The trinity of the devil, me, myself, and I. And then people get upset and angry, and they get into fights out there, and hallelujah. They need rubber bumpers. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love what? Suffers. Everyone say, I love suffering. And don't be a weenie. I love suffering. Love suffers long. And is what? So while you're suffering, just be kind, will you? Don't spew over everybody. Love does not envy. Well, let's see if we're walking in love. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not what? Provoked, thinks no evil. Well, that just counts all of us out. We all think evil, but we're not promoting that evil thought. Does everybody understand that? Although sometimes I have to disagree with that. I mean, but there's some things I just want to see destroyed, man. Like the dome at the Temple Mount. I want to see that thing destroyed. Why? So we can build a new temple. I want to see the regimes of the Antichrist destroyed. I want to see other locations destroyed. I want to see everybody cut loose from the jails and prisons of righteousness. I want to see all of these fake judges and self-promoting individuals go to prison. I want to see the kingdom of God manifest like never before on earth as it is in heaven. It says, does not rejoice in iniquity. Well, I have to repent for that sometimes. But rejoices in the what? In truth. Bears all things. Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, love never what? It doesn't fail. Love is the best emotion you can have, but it's the love of God. Love, God's love comes from God's presence because God's presence is his love. So the more you're in his presence, the more you carry God's love. The more you're able to endure more things. Amen? Love never fails. Love is his presence. 2 Peter 3, verse 1. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your what? Pure minds by way of reminder. What's your pure mind? The mind of Christ. Amen. So the unpure mind is the what? Carnal mind. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own what? Lusts. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? They're going to be challenging people. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and the perdition of the ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. Ooh, stirring up your pure minds to what? Reconnect and reactivate it. Jude chapter 1 and verse 5. Jude 1 verse 5, is everybody there? But I want to what? Remind you. So what was he, every time he was reminding, he was reconnecting them. Though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did what? Not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper dominion, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring it against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. But these speak. Now, you got to remember something. Why? Because Lucifer was the highest ranking angel. He was in charge of all worship. He was God's right hand man. He was there. He saw the creation of all things. He was created in beauty, in wisdom. God gave him everything. And again, remember, he was at one time, before Adam, the ruler of this earth. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally. Like brute beasts in these things, they corrupt themselves. Again, I want to just reiterate, Michael did not bring an accusation against Lucifer because he respected him and still that authority. But he rebuked him in the name of the Lord. Does everybody understand that? Hallelujah. Woe to them, verse 11, for they have gone in the way of Cain and have run greedily in the air of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without waters, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up at their own shame, wandering stars of whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them, all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These are grumblers and complainers, walking about by their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time that would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are central persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in tongues. Hello. Keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Have compassion on some, making a distinction. And but others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Stir yourself up. That's what he was there. He was there to stir them up. Deny yourself, pick up the cross, fulfill your call, and follow the King all the way through. You know, we're to finish our assignments. God gives us assignments. There may be little ones and big ones. Some of them are larger assignments that take more time, and then are short assignments. We have assignments every single day. Your first assignment is to fill your morning routine in prayer. That's the first thing. Amen? And then the other assignments fall. In fact, during that period of time, God will release the other assignments. But he wants you to complete the first assignment. That's seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Attack the enemy before he attacks you. Be a first striker. Hallelujah. James chapter 1. It allows us, when we, to stay out of this weariness thing, we cannot live in the past. We live from the future to the present. That's why it's important to decree the words of God, which bring you into the future. That's why it's worship, which melts the walls all around us of the enemy. And we're able to hear clearly, see clearly, and sense God's call. But living from the future to the present is essential. And you can't do that without being filled with the Spirit of God. You just can't. No matter what you try to do. There's a lot of people I know that know the Word of God. And how many of you all know somebody who knows the Word of God and still fell? What are they lacking? God's presence. God's presence. Hallelujah. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you do fall into various trials, because you're gonna. It's a part of your training. It's a part of your loving of suffering. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. Patience is endurance. How many of y'all need endurance? We all do. But let patience or endurance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect in completing and complete, lacking what? Nothing. And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's what? Double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Count it all joy. Joy is a choice. If you're waiting for a feeling of joy, forget it. You make the choice and step into joy, and then the feeling comes. Hallelujah. Count it all joy. You know that something from God is coming no matter what. Amen. Breakthrough is on its way. He's going to meet every one of your needs. That allows you to live from the future to the present. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Are we in perilous times? Perilous times. Well, that kind of lets me know that there's going to be a lot of attacks, a lot of oppression, a lot of weariness, discouragements, all kinds of things that's going to come. Perilous times. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They have a form of godliness but deny the power. And from such people do what? From such people do what? Why? Because associations bring impartations. Yeah. Hallelujah. These are carriers of oppression, weariness, discouragement, causing a misleading through emotional choices of the flesh and soul. Don't make wrong choices. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Let's speak it. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utter fall. But those who what? Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagles, with wings of eagles, and they shall what? Run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why are you waiting on the Lord? You're waiting on his presence. And waiting also means serving. Hallelujah. Wait on the Lord gives you an ability to endure. Hebrews 10 and verse 32. But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became a companion of those who were treated. For you have compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. When you cast away your confidence, you become weary. Yes. For you are in need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. Now if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but to those who are believed to the saving of the soul. Endurance is essential, no matter what you're going through. Acts chapter 3 and verse 18. You know, sometimes a hug from someone can just change their whole attitude. You know, I've told a story already when Kate and I were driving down the road and there was a guy pushing a cart. And my wife started to pray for him, and she's saying, Lord, please do something for him. And the Lord said, no, you do something for him. So I pulled over to the side. I got out of the car, and I walked up to him, and I hugged him. And, man, that man just began to weep. And, of course, I blessed him with $100. But I told him Jesus loved him. And I really wanted to tell him, one day I'm going to be able to bring you home. We're going to bring you to Fields of Grace, and you can park your cart there, you know, your shopping cart there. I'll even put a license plates on it. You know. But that man, it blew him away. He couldn't even get his shopping cart up the curb. He was so skinny and weak, and it wasn't about what he was going to do with the money. It was about just showing compassion and just loving him. You don't think that man was encouraged that day that Jesus loved him and didn't forget him? Amen. That's all it took. Simple. And he was just all happy and joyful. I didn't see him dance after that, but he was still pushing. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 3 and verse 18. But those things which God foretold about by the mouth of his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, for which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. Again, it's God's presence. So you repent. You make sure your heart is correct. You know, your attitude and motives, your intentions. Make sure that they're pure. And if they're not pure, ask the Lord to cleanse them with the blood of Jesus. Lord, I exchange my attitude, motive, and desires and intentions for yours. I exchange everything for yours. I exchange my life for you. I want to live for you, not for myself. You know, you got to speak these things for it to happen. Nothing gets activated without your spoken word. And I'm going to close in Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. You know, we get people that come into the discipleship house, and sometimes many of them have never even read the Bible. They don't know anything. And sometimes they're the easier ones that get delivered easier, but sometimes not. So it's not about that. It's about the individual. And when they come in, we give them the prayer booklet and are to decree these two prayers seven times a day for the first 7 days. And they don't understand why. We try to explain it to them because you got to break off stuff because of what you're speaking. But if they do it, they find change. There's a change that begins to happen. And we give them another set of prayers and so forth all the way through. And as they're going through, they're actually doing self-deliverance. See, but they don't understand all that at first. And we can't explain it all to them. Well, this is why. Just trust and do. So when somebody skips a prayer, if they skip it, they only did it six times today. You better do it seven times. You better do it again. And don't say you're doing your prayers every day if you're not. Then you'll bring a curse on yourself. Again, our focus and purpose is to free people to become an extension of Christ so that they walk in his image and likeness and character. And they carry the presence and power to overcome all things so that they're a sign and wonder to the world. And we are. Everyone in this room is a sign and wonder to the world. Maybe you haven't fulfilled everything about your call, but you're fulfilling it every day. The Bible says, forsake not to gather or assemble. We gather and assemble. That's how we stay activated and restored all the time. I don't want to miss. Hallelujah. So what's it saying? Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your responsibility or reasonable service. So every day we're presenting our spirit, soul, and body to the Lord as a living sacrifice. It's not yours, it's his. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing and refreshing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I want you to understand that Paul here is saying your mind. He doesn't mean your carnal mind. He means your spiritual mind. See, he's already talked about the carnal mind. He's done with that. He's talking about the spiritual mind. So he's saying refresh your thoughts. Break through emotional weariness. Maintain reasonable expectations. And, of course, maintain the presence of the Lord. And you will find victory, and you will burn through emotional weariness all the time. All the time. Again, when you're having a struggle by yourself, call someone and pray with them. Hey, would you mind praying with me? There's nothing wrong with it, you know. Well, I can handle it myself. Well, that's prideful. That's how people fall. That's how they get worse. Amen? The Bible says, in a multitude of counsel, there's safety and wisdom. But be careful of that emotional weariness. You know, we get to a point sometimes where we become not only repetitive, but it seems like you're doing the same thing over and over and over. You can't become weary. You know, if you were working on an assembly line, you did the same thing over and over and over, but you were, you know, what helped you got through, you thought about how much money you were making. Okay, I'll keep doing this. But then you got to stir yourself up to make the difference. Amen? You have to make the change in your mind and your thoughts. You have to start singing songs. Yeah, maybe not so everybody hears you, but inside anyways. Yeah. and get the joy of the Lord. You got to start speaking to your dad. I've had so many people come up to me and say, who are you speaking to? Thinking I'm weird. Buddy. Who's buddy? He's the Holy Spirit. He's my buddy. That's who I'm speaking to. Would you like to meet him? Where is he? He's right here. They're like, of course, some of them might walk away. You know, this guy's nuts. Some of them want to know because they can sense something. See, when I begin to introduce the Holy Spirit, his presence increases. He's out to touch them. He wants to make himself real to them. I mean, there isn't a lot of many people that go into the Department of Motor Vehicles that are happy. If you ever sat in there, it's a wonderful outreach ministry there. Hey, you can hand booklets to everybody there or on the way out. You'd sit and talk, make people. I mean, they're so frustrated with everything that goes on there. They're waiting. They brought the wrong thing, or didn't have the right this, or whatever. Their license got suspended. And there isn't too many happy people in there, let me tell you. But like I said, it's a good place to be sometimes. I don't want to go there. I hate going there. But when I go there, I turn it into a ministry. So everywhere we go, we turn it into a ministry. Be available. You don't know. You just, okay, Holy Spirit, is there somebody you want me to speak to here? And sometimes they'll say, no, just be quiet, get in there and get out. We'll talk later. Okay. But again, it's the relationship that is so vital. You have your best friend, Holy Spirit. He represents Jesus. And he represents your Father. He oversees all things. So when you're weary, when you're frustrated, whatever, just call out the name of the Lord. Amen? You're not alone, and you don't have to do it by yourself because you're never alone. Talk to him even when you go to sleep. Ask him to visit you while you're sleeping. Grant me a dream. Let's go somewhere. Take me beyond this place. I love leaving the planet when I go to sleep. I know where I go. I don't know sometimes. I want to go into God's presence, go to heaven, I don't care where. But not my past. I hate going to the past. So listen, recognize that the emotional weariness is going to come against you. But you are more than conquerors. Amen? You battle. Why? Because you're not living for your life. You're battling for the life of Christ now, not your own. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And we thank you, Lord. Please have mercy upon us and let your grace abound abundantly. Prepare our hearts for communion and let the word grow in us that we've heard today, that we may discern the spiritual weariness in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Hallelujah.